education to start or advance a career in teaching. More information is available online at carthage.edu/grad.
Attention all Facebook users, you're invited to click like WGTD for breaking news, photos, station program information, links to archives, and to interact with WGTD employees and listeners. The page is available to non-Facebook subscribers as well.
Good morning on this beautiful Saturday. This is Technology Matters. Thank you for tuning in to WGTD 91.1 FM. I'm Troy McDonald.
And I'm River Gibbs.
And the election, of course, occurred this past Tuesday, shocking the nation. And everyone is talking about the millennial perspective and how technology has played a part in the election and of course, the aftermath. But no one's talking to millennials. And so today, myself and my co-host River Gibbs and I, we will be talking from a millennial point of view about technology and how this election has affected us and how technology has affected the election. So River, thanks for joining me on this ride.
Thank you so much for having me on. I'm so happy to be here.
And of course, let's talk about the new information here, which is the protesters protesting the several nights after the election, the results, of course, shocking many young people. You were telling me before we got on the air here that there were some friends of yours who were taking part in this protest and live streaming it.
Yeah. There were some of, you know, usually when these kind of things happen, it's just, you know, people that you don't even know. But in this situation, it was my own Facebook friends, people I knew and see, who were live streaming at Trump protest get-togethers. And they were actually inviting everybody out, telling them where to go. So they're really taking this to the next level. And it was so shocking to see people that I knew, my own friends, doing this, you know?
What do you think motivated them to do that? And first of all, before I ask that, where were the protests? This was in California, correct?
Yeah. I'm in California. So this particular one that I saw was in San Francisco, but there were several other protests around the state. And it really was just absolutely shocking. And they were chanting, you know, anti-Trump chants and everything at these rallies. And it got pretty intense. The whole street was filled.
Wow. How many people do you think showed up to that?
Oh, Lord. Well, in the live stream, I could see hundreds. I didn't go and actually check the numbers, but on the live stream, there were hundreds of people there just swallowing the streets. I mean, honestly, there wasn't a car in sight.
Yeah, and in some cases, I know here, near here in the Chicago area, they were going on the freeway and going on the highways, or I think that was California. They were going on the highways in some cases and walking in the middle of the streets voice their opinions. The big question that a lot of people have had of millennials is, why are you complaining? If you are complaining, make sure that you voted. And from your sense, how many people voted that you know that are in the age group?
Very few, and I was one of the few. But I do want to say, you know, regardless of what side of the token you're on, I think this election process did teach people my age the importance of voting, no matter what your opinion is. I think a lot of millennials, especially the younger millennials, learned from this that, in fact, you know, your vote does matter. And I think that's what was presented to them in this process. And I think that's also maybe why they're a little upset. The ones who didn't agree with the outcome was that, you know, they missed the boat. And I think they're realizing that now.
Yeah. And also, too, on the kind of the flip side of that, as I noticed that, too, within my circle, but there are a lot of people who were posting on my Facebook wall that they were proud that they didn't vote. And that shocked me. And that they're kind of just one person, actually, before we came on to record and on the air here, someone posted in my comments, you know, F them all, take them all out. There's a lot of that sentiment where people are just really fed up. And if you look at the turnout numbers from 2008 to 2016, there are millions of votes less than the 2008 election and 2016. People were saying there's so much Trump enthusiasm, and there was, but it was nothing compared to elections past, by and large, because the millions of votes less were counted.
Right. And that's you know, a scary thing. You know, no matter what side of the token you're on, I heard somebody was saying, when there's that low of a voter turnout, it's a very small percentage of the American public deciding who the president is, you know? So that's why it's very important to get out there.
WikiLeaks, the emails, hacking, Russian hacking, accusations of such played a huge role in the election process. And for the first time, emails, technology, they've played a front and center role in how this campaign, both campaigns, operated. And so it's really interesting to see how, from your sense of what people, millennials, are talking about, how much did the WikiLeaks stuff and the stuff that the DNC are allegedly was rigging the system against Hillary Clinton, and a lot of young millennials were huge Bernie supporters, and arguably and maybe inarguably, they stayed home.
Right. And that's the thing. I think the younger generations are able to see through, you know, that kind of stuff a lot more. And I think we're heading into an interesting time here with technology growing and everything like that. How much can you hide? You know, not for anybody, not just somebody running for president. How much can you hide without it being discovered? And that's something we're headed into that I think is very interesting in what we're going to see in generations to come. You know, how private will our lives really be from now on? So I think really that's a lesson that anything you do, you know, you got to make sure you're doing everything privately that you would do publicly, you know, because it could come back to bite you.
Yeah. And see, I actually think that, and this is going to be a little controversial for the morning, but I don't care. I mean, if you look at Melania Trump, she got a huge backlash for some of the modeling pictures that she took years, you know, ago. There's going to come a time where every president has photos like that.
Right.
Or first lady or who's ever running. That's just going to be the norm because that's what millennials, some of them, most of them, do. And so it's going to be really interesting. What are you going to be able to hide? Is that going to be hidden? And of course, there is a difference. She posed publicly in front of professional cameras. But if anyone can be hacked, you know, it's going to be very interesting to see what's acceptable of a presidential nominee and first lady now compared to what it will be 30 years from now. It's going to be very interesting.
Yeah, and that is what I'm talking about, is the time that we're in is such an interesting time and so unique to any other time in history, in that the older generations who are voting didn't grow up like that. You know, they didn't grow up with technology really being anywhere near what it is today. And now the younger people, the people like myself who are just now able to vote, are in a time where everything is public. So I think that is a huge part in itself of why there is such a divide. You know, people, you know, for example, WikiLeaks releasing information on Hillary Clinton's emails, you know, that is matters much differently to each age group. So it's going to be interesting to see how that tug of war plays out.
Right. And I think you're going to see, obviously, you look at California and some of these other states where things like marijuana legislation passed for recreational, and, you know, some of these more liberal policies are being enacted. It's going to be very interesting to see where the party goes. And really, that is driven by young people and technology. You know, I really do. Speaking of that, you know, Obama, you know, created the president's Twitter, which is at POUTS or POTUS, and the first lady at FLOTUS, that's going to be handed over to Melania and Donald Trump, who are also, well, especially Donald, very active Twitter users. Obama is one of the first people to create Twitter. How important do you think Twitter and Facebook is to millennials and will be for the candidates?
I think it's very important, and that's you know, the very controversial thing is, you know, the area where millennials are getting their news is totally different from where older generations are getting their news.
That is so true.
For a lot of people my age, Twitter is the, you know, NBC, CBS, ABC. You know,
right.
So
and those brands don't matter.
Right.
And that's what's so scary is some of you listening may have seen some of these fake news articles or things of that nature. The millennials, and I'm kind of different because I'm in the business, but a lot of them, they don't care whether it's CBS, CNN. It's just the headline that grabs them. They click it for 5 seconds. They read it. And then they're done with it. It's disposable. It doesn't matter who's reporting. And that's could be a great thing because it breaks down and opens the barriers of reporting. But it also can be extremely scary when you have people who don't have the right intentions behind it.
Right. It is a scary thing because anybody who has an opinion can make themselves look like NBC, ABC, CBS. You know? So it they can make it look believable. So anybody with any sort of idea has a voice somewhere, and that is what is different today.
And also, I think, as you mentioned before, I think this is also playing a part in the divide because everyone is so used to getting what they want, especially millennials, like my age group and yours. You know, you're part of the younger end. I'm on the other end of the millennial spectrum. But by the way, millennials, for those of you who are curious, is people who were born in the late 80s to the latter part of the 90s, so 1988-1989 to 1998-1999, around there.
Right.
That's the span of the millennials. So I think that's very interesting is, as I was saying, millennials are so used to getting what they want because they can cherry pick what they want to hear. And so when anything kind of conflicts with what they believe, the world ends. But it's not necessarily the case because millennials have not had to compromise. You don't have to buy CDs anymore. You can listen to the one song that you want to hear. You can order whatever kind of food you want, and it's delivered to you within minutes. You can get driven anywhere through services like Uber and Lyft, which we'll talk about later, and their future. So this is an on-demand economy, and the presidential election is not an on-demand event.
Right. That's so true. And that's exactly right what you said about especially the younger millennials is everything they want at every minute of the day is right at their fingertips. So why should they, you know, accept something into their lives that isn't how they feel or isn't something they want? That just for a perfect example, you know, many people, especially out here in California, the area where I'm from, did not agree with the election results. So what do? They start a movement online with technology about this Cal exit thing, you know,
which was a hashtag. Basically, California is there. It could be it's in the early stages of seceding from the union, which is something that traditionally most Republican states like Texas and others have tried to petition to secede from the union. And now California is saying, hey, we don't agree with this. And there could be a potential vote in 2019, which is almost it's almost beside the point because in 1 year you'd have the chance to switch things back. But, you know,
right. Exactly. And, you know, people who don't agree with the outcome, they don't want it. So they just don't want to hear about it. They don't want to have to deal with their problems.
And that's to me, as a part of this group, it is upsetting because I think it is important to realize that you're not always going to get what you want, but that it's also important to fight for what you believe in. And so right. I know for myself, I'm kind of torn between those two juxtapositions because it is important to fight for what you believe in. And sometimes, as we've seen with the civil rights movement and other movements, it's not always pretty on that
right.
journey.
That's exactly true. It's not always going to be, you know, that a lot of blood, sweat, and tears go into a lot of it.
Speaking of a few seconds ago, we talked about Uber and Lyft. And another thing that some of the media, I believe, has been missing is Uber and Lyft and this kind of on-demand economy and what will become an on-demand workforce. The idea that you're going to get up and you know, and the way look at how Uber is hiring people, they're not even They're independent contractors. They use their own vehicles. Now Uber is and Lyft are developing technologies and working with Ford and General Motors to develop driverless vehicles. And we'll mention that, talk more about that right after the break.
This is Technology Matters on WGTD 91.1 FM. I'm River Gibbs.
And I'm Troy McDonald.
And Troy, you were talking about Uber and Lyft and the advancement of technologies. Pretty soon we're going to have driverless cars.
Yes. And if you look at the electorate, how this kind of thing played out, the election played out, a lot of the people who were angry and disgruntled were the white working class voters who were angry and mad that the system had failed them. Now, Uber and Lyft are working to eradicate a whole nother sector, which typically employs white working class individuals, which is the trucking industry and those types of fields. They will be basically running off of GPS. There won't be a driver in there, and they'll go from wherever they need to go to ship product and services. That's going to fundamentally change and put a lot of people out of work who are going to need retraining to figure out what to do. And I was telling my boss the other day, the wonderful David Cole, shout out, was telling him that you won't even need to buy a new truck or a new car. There are companies now that are working to put this technology on existing trucks.
Wow.
And so that's going to if you're Walmart and you have so many incidents a year where truckers might do something bad or there's delays and you can control all of this wirelessly with GPS and don't have to worry about accidents or driver liability or insuring drivers or, you know, health insurance, paying the drivers themselves, it's going to fundamentally change those workers. So my thing is, are those workers going to hold that towards the Trump administration when it does happen? Or will they hold that to the Obama administration, which is now exiting? That's going to be very interesting to see.
It really is. And it's going to be interesting to see how the Trump team handles this, you know, because being from the business side, it almost seems like a conflict of interest, you know, because his main base, you know, is the white working class, like you were saying.
And it's going to, you're right, and it's business-wise, it is a great move because it saves money, cuts costs, and could pretend, and we'll see, they could pass that savings down to consumers, which, you know, one could argue doesn't happen or does. It, you know, it's depending on what you think. But it's going to be interesting to see how Trump, who made his claim, as you said, as a business person, how is he going to handle this business problem that could potentially hurt a lot of the people who catapulted him into office. Speaking
right,
of that, oh, no, go ahead.
No, go.
I was going to say, too, speaking of something that Trump is kind of going to have to face is the media and how we have covered this event. From your perspective, how do you think millennials reacted to the media coverage? Do they hate the media? From my understanding, is there's a pretty large distrust of the media among our group, but I'm curious what you think.
No, I think there is a huge distrust of the media, and I think it's very obvious. I was talking to somebody, and they said it very well. The younger generations have one of the largest BS detectors in history, and I think that's stands to truth. They can really see conflict of interest, and you look at one member of the mainstream media is reporting something quite different than another one, and you saw how the polls came out. No matter what side of the token you were on, you cannot deny that. What is the point in trusting the exit polls or trusting what the mainstream media is saying about the polls prior to the election, because it just simply wasn't true, you know, what the biggest majority of the mainstream was reporting. So I think what needs to happen is the mainstream media really needs to start talking about and develop an incentive for reporting things accurately.
It's, and I could agree with that, it's tough because it's all about getting people to click, getting people to engage with your brand. And it's a lot of the newsrooms are in a difficult position. What do we do that's with integrity and with honor, but also that gets people either riled up, engaged, clicking, subscribing, Snapchatting, whatever it is, or sending snaps? You know, how do they keep them in the fold of the brand? And that is a balance that one could argue failed this time. And it's going to be really interesting to see if people are going to have long-term memories in 4 years, because everyone's angry right now, or a lot of the millennials are angry right now.
And so
will people remember that in 4 years and remember how the polling shaked out? Or will people kind of move on with their daily lives? And then, you know, will they remember this feeling?
Right. And that's what I'm so interested to see. And I saw an interview with President Obama, and he said once he leaves office, that's one of the main issues that he wants to tackle, is finding an incentive for accurate reporting. Because he does, you know, he did understand from a lot of the newsroom's point of view is that, you know, it is about clicks, it is about attention, it is about profit. But at the same time, there needs to be a limit to that, because people need to receive accurate information. Because if they don't, then they're basing their decisions on something that's false. And I think that played a big role now. And if something isn't done about it in the near future, it's going to start playing an even bigger role in future elections and future situations just in everyday life.
Yeah, that's – and then also you have to take a look at the major organizations. You have Facebook and Twitter, which are owned by one company, their private market, and that's where the majority of young people, where we're getting our news. I cannot tell you the last time that I turned on the news at 6 o'clock. I don't think I've done that since my mother, you know, when I was, 14, 15, 16. I mean, who does that? Okay. So it's going to be interesting that where we get our news is Facebook and Twitter, and they almost – they're trying to avoid their responsibility politically, but I think they do have a huge responsibility in what kind of news that we're seeing. They are, in essence, now news organizations for an entire generation.
That's it. That's the truth. Heck, I haven't turned on the actual news at the actual time in forever. I haven't watched TV in, months. But I agree. I think they do have a responsibility, because this is what not just the younger millennials, but we're up into, you know, the 20s, almost 30 now, getting their information simply from these sources. And I think these companies are going to have to talk about a way to get information. They're going to have to realize that people's eyes are on their company and, you know, Facebook, Twitter, whatever, constantly. So they need some way to get accurate information, because somebody can just sit on their computer who has an opinion and type up something that looks just as official as what one of the major news organizations could. So there needs to be some type of filter. I don't have the answer for it, but, you know, I hope it's something that can be talked about very soon in the political climate.
And it seems that they don't either,
or they don't want
to have the answer, because it's a huge responsibility. We're going to close here in a few minutes, but I wanted to kind of shift gears and talk about some of the products that are coming out for, or not coming out, but are going to be on a huge sale, and I love a sale, that are going to be on sale for Black Friday. And it's kind of interesting to see what is on sale. There's going to be, and these are at the major big box retailers, you know, your Walmart, your Targets. Walmart's going to have the iPhone 5S for $99.
Wow.
But I think that's also, and see, here's another issue, is that because millennials are so into technology, the iPhone 5S is a 4 or 5 year old phone at this point. So it's not even worth the $99, but people are going to see that splashy headline. I mean, it kind of comes back around to what we were talking about before with, you know, educating yourselves and fair, accurate information. Some people are going to see iPhone here and think that's the new phone. Hopefully not.
Right. So some of the older generations, I remember my father just retired from his flip phone, and he got an iPhone 4S, and he thought he was moving up in the world. So I guess that's the market they're trying to hit.
Right. And it's just like for literally $200 more, you can go to a carrier and get the brand new version.
Exactly.
There was a couple of good deals. There's a $299 Acer laptop that will be at Target. Some of the TVs as well. We're seeing a Samsung curved television. I don't know if you've seen those, River, but it's a curved TV. And it's $698, $400 off retail. Very interesting.
It is. I have seen those. I don't remember where it was, but it did look like something really interesting.
Speaking of all this, what do you want for Christmas?
Me personally, I'm looking always into the biggest and newest camera, because I think I've noticed a lot of millennials, especially the ones my age, that's a big market they're getting into, is, you know, creating their own videos, and they're starting to become more and more professional. And I think that's a new platform, the new common platform, you know, that a lot of millennials are hitting.
Yeah, there's actually, looking at the list here, and the list that I'm getting all these prices for is Fortune.com. and Fortune magazine, and they're listing that there is a Canon DSLR that is for $449, so that's $150 savings they're claiming. So that's interesting.
Yeah, and that's what a lot of us are getting into, because I think video, you know, used to be just from the, you know, big production companies, but now we're getting into a time where, you know, for that amount of money, somebody can make something really, really professional. All they need is the know-how. So,
yeah, you know. And that's the thing. It's technology has leveled that playing field, especially on the video side. Not so much on the music side, but when it comes to video, you can put something on Facebook and boom.
Right, and it's up, and that's why video is becoming such an important aspect of many, you know, different things.
And I think to go back to our earlier topic is, you know, Hillary Clinton, you know, did a lot of web video that targeted the millennial population. And so a part of why a lot of people, for those of you who are wondering, why am I seeing this anger, is the young people watched her videos like most people or older people watch the news every day.
Right.
And so they're being fed this narrative about Donald Trump, whether it's one-sided or not, we will see. But they're being fed this narrative every day.
Right. And people have to understand that it's that important to a lot of people my age. When they see something like that, that might as well have, you know, the network stamp on it, you know?
Absolutely. Totally agree on that. What do I want for Christmas? I have to answer that question. I'm kind of in that range now. I'm approaching my middle 20s. I'm getting old to me. I know
middle 20s. That's a long time away
for you. I know.
Yeah.
Gosh, what do I want? I really don't want anything. And I think I have a phone. I got my computer, my Mac. You know, I'm at the point now where I'm just super content with where life is. And maybe that's a message to end on. I don't know. But, you know, it's that I'm just really content and positive thinking about my future, what I want for my future, what I want for my life. I don't think, you know, it's the end of the world, or at least I'm not going to let myself think that. I have to keep fighting for myself and for what I want in my life. And, you know, yeah, I guess that's what I want.
Right, and you brought up a good point. Sorry, I just had to mention is that is one thing that I think is a misconception about, you know, all the younger millennials. Oh, got to get the new iPad, got to get the new iPhone. That's true, but also, just like you said, you know, you couldn't really think of something specific because we put a lot of emphasis on experiences. You know,
yes.
I think a lot of younger people do. They would rather have a great experience than, you know, something top notch.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And that's why I'm kind of thinking this year I had the opportunity to go to New Orleans. And, I mean, you were there. And, you know, California. And just like all these amazing things that have shaped my life. Mm-hmm. No piece of metal or glass or election or whatever can change those memories that I'm going to have.
Right. And that's so much more valuable than the, you know, biggest and latest product. You know?
Right. Totally true. Well, River, it's been a joy
to have you here. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm so honored.
Yes, and I'm honored that you accepted. I mean, I was kind of given this assignment last minute. But of course, River, you're just ultra professional, just a true absolute pro. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much, too.
And thank you for listening.